The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Or indeed anything else we're talking about on the show today. Now, speaking of health, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, was before Oireachtas Health Committee today talking about Sláintecare. He revealed that a new board will be formed, a new committee will be formed that will be co-chaired by Robert Watt, the Secretary General of the Department of Health, and by the HSE Chief Paul Reid. Nessa Harrigan is a Green Party TD for Dublin Central. She was at the committee today and she joins me. Now, both Robert Watt and the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, Nessa, essentially saying that, look, everything is fine with Sláintecare. Things are still trucking along. Everything is hunky-dory, I suppose. What do you think?
Well, I don't know about that. Obviously, in the last week or two, we've seen a number of resignations from the Sláintecare Implementation Advisory Council. And really, this session was scheduled for a number of reasons. One, we wanted to find out why did Professor Tom Keane and Laura McGahey resign? Is there an institutional resistance to the implementation of Sláintecare? Like, what is the holdup? And then what are the proposals to move forward? Where are we now? How are we going to progress this? So, you know, it was really important for the committee to be able to ask both Mr. Watt and the minister those questions today. And in fairness, we did get some answers. We heard that that programme board is to be created and it's going to be co-chaired by the most senior civil servants from the HSE and from the Department of Health, that there's going to be a task force on waiting lists that will be modelled on the vaccine task force. That's most deliverables for Sláintecare are on track, but you know, really those three issues that those two resignees raised, the regionalisation of a currently centralised HSE into those regional health areas, the waiting list issue and the e-health issue, you know, those were the things we really wanted to focus on.
And did you get answers that satisfied you to those three issues as to what the problems are and how those problems will be solved by Robert Watt and Paul Reid, given they're the ones now who are going to drive this change?
Well, I think that we heard that there are, look, the last year has been problematic and has brought its own challenges, and there was a certain amount of a pause to some of the implementation, particularly in the area of regionalisation. We did hear that they're going to set up an advisory group made up of stakeholders on the regionalisation issue. I don't necessarily know if we got a full answer to whether there is a kind of resistance either within the department or the HSE around the implementation of Sláintecare. But certainly on things like e-health and ICT, there has been a huge amount of innovation during COVID on some of those issues. Like, you know, you can contact a GP now online, and that wasn't there before. And certainly in the budget next week, we are probably going to see significant action on waiting lists. I do think, though, that there is a remaining question around oversight and the kind of the impartiality of the department here. That new programme board is going to sit completely within the department, and where is the kind of independent oversight to the implementation of Sláintecare?
Well, on that issue of resistance, because that's something that's been brought up time and again, including on this show, by politicians and by people working in the health industry, doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals. And Gino Kenny, the TD, asked Robert Watt, the Secretary General at the Department of Health, about this today. Take a listen to Robert Watt's answer.
I'm very available to talk to anybody and for them to come to me with two things. First of all, to tell me what issue is the department resisting, and secondly, who is resisting. Is it me? Is it Paul Reid? Is it somebody else? But to make a general comment that there is resistance in an organisation to change or reform in the generality, it's just too easy, because it's an easy comment. And you know, it's a little bit of the whole people have watched too many versions of Yes Minister, you know, of these civil servants going around and not willing to make any changes and looking after their interests. Like, it's a little bit 40 years old, to say the least. So if people have any evidence, they need to tell me. That you can email me, text me, you can even organise a meeting, and I will listen to their evidence of what specific issue to which they're referring. And which officer? Like, is Bob here resisting the change? Maybe Bob is, let me know, I don't know. Is somebody else resisting the change? So who? Rather than pretending that there's some vast conspiracy, shadowy figures, like, it's all nonsense. If people have evidence, let them come to me and I will talk to them about it.
Yeah, fairly bullish Robert Watt there before the committee. Ray Wally is a GP, Associate Professor in General Practice in UCD, and he's a member of the IMO GP Subcommittee. Ray, I mean, if Sláintecare was your patient, what prognosis would you give it?
Well, the conversation in general practice and among my consultant colleagues is the gross shortage of doctors. Many GPs had no summer holidays. We have worked tirelessly for the last 18 months, 24 months in regard to the pandemic. And there is limited, if no focus on the fact that this is happening. We also know that 30% of GPs are due to retire in the next 5 years, and similarly with consultants. We know that 1 in 5 consultant posts are vacant. Not one post has been filled in the last number of months. Yet there is no conversation in regard to that. And having a debate in regard to whatever form of healthcare you're going to provide is absolutely useless unless you have the manpower to provide that healthcare.
So that's interesting. I don't want to say it's like rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. Maybe that's been a bit too dismissive of Sláintecare. But you think we're talking about the wrong thing, is it?
Well, certainly general practitioners are really feeling bruised and abused. I don't want collapse in the streets. I want basic resources to be able to do my job. Certainly, we've done a lot of things which have been supposedly done under the heading of Sláintecare. I would have been that they were done under the engagement between the Irish Medical Organisation and the HSE and the Department of Health in the last 2 to 3 years. We brought in a better computerisation practice. We brought in chronic disease management, which has just won United Nations award in the last few days, in which was the basis on which we provided care to our elderly in the pandemic. We've a lot of accolades in what we've done, but we don't see really the nuts and bolts being looked at to resolve this problem. We are still seeing a massive emigration of our medical practitioners abroad to better resource systems, yeah, better organised systems, and better systems with infrastructure.
And Ray, is that a problem that's going to get worse, particularly when you look at the age profile, the demographic of GPs in the country?
Well, my concern, again, per se, I'm not against universal healthcare as an individual. But we do know that if you end up giving medical cards to other groups of people, you have a 50% automatic increase in consultation rate. We have, as I said, GPs basically not being listened to, consultants not being listened to. This has actually happened in the NHS in the last few years. And in the last 2 years, they've had an exit of 10,000 GPs when they weren't listened to. We have a workforce which are very stressed and very strained. All the stress assessments in studies have indicated that we have many practitioners close to burnout, and we do not hear any of our politicians of any ilk noting this and saying we're looking for solutions, we want to engage.
It sounds like what you're saying is that not only should we be dealing with this before we talk about Sláintecare in any more detail, but actually by talking about Sláintecare and moving ahead with that before you deal with the shortage of doctors, you actually make that problem worse. You compound the problem of a shortage of doctors.
Well, that is what has happened in the last few years in the UK, and they are now down to the same level of general practitioners per population as when the NHS were first set up. There's a lot of people basically talking with a lack of knowledge in regard to things, and they're not acknowledging the problem. We have major problems with infrastructure and especially staffing in this country, and it's not being acknowledged. If you do not acknowledge the problem, you cannot make the right diagnosis and provide a prognosis.
Well, a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking about University Hospital Kerry, which has written to GPs in that part of the world saying, stop sending us patients. We can no longer take them in the emergency department. They're overwhelmed. And I suspect both of these stories are linked. It is a shortage of GPs, which sees people turning up at emergency departments at a lot of the time when they don't need to be there. Ray Whalley, GP and Associate Professor in General Practice in UCD and a member of the IMO GP Subcommittee, and Nessa Horrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central, who is a member of the Oireachtas Health Committee. Thank you both very much for joining me.